Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to the only radio that matters. BBS Talk Radio.
All the leaves are brown, and the sky is gray. Passed along the way. Well, I got down on my knees and I began to pray. You know the preacher like to call. He knows I'm gonna stay.
Good morning and welcome to the Manu Show. Sorry about the little thing going on over here.
Someone was trying to talk through.
Yeah. But, well, it was me, actually. But, did you hear something?
Yeah.
Oh, you heard somebody on the Skype, yeah. Yeah, try to figure out all the equipment here, you know. But regardless, you know, we'll get back to it. How you doing, Manu?
I don't know. Maybe I should be asking you that question.
Why?
Well, because you seem to be very distracted. A lot of things going on.
Well, that's okay if I'm not paying attention to you all the time. It
no.
doesn't mean I don't like you. I know. I'm giving you a hard time. Relax.
Oh, okay. Relax. All right.
So we have cleavage again, I see.
No.
That's not cleavage? So what's cleavage?
Man.
Okay.
Oh, I don't know. Something that your tits are hanging out is my cleavage definition.
Yeah, but you don't have them big enough to hang out, you know, so.
No, I wouldn't. If I had them that big, I wouldn't have them hanging out, I don't think.
Yeah?
No.
No?
No.
Can you imagine these women, you know, with the huge, huge, humongous boobs? I'm not talking about, like, cute girls, but, you know. And, I mean, that is such a load to carry around.
I can tell you.
Yeah.
A lot of them have backaches. I wonder if they have that discussion before they go in for a boob job.
Yeah, they do a reduction or something, you know. I mean, I'm not talking about
boob jobs. Like boob jobs because the weight of the...
Yeah. No, I was talking about natural ones.
Oh, natural ones, yeah.
Yeah, natural ones, you know. And it's crazy. It really is.
I know. Some of them just can't hide those puppies at all. I have a girlfriend who calls them puppies.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They are puppies. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the show. We have a great show for you today, I think.
You think?
Yeah, it depends on what Manu's been up to last night.
No, I worked until late, and then and I got home about, I don't know, about 10-ish, a little bit after 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so tired, I just went straight to bed.
Really?
Yeah, that's all I did. But I did get a phone call, very interestingly, mm-hmm. for an audition.
Oh.
Tonight.
Wow.
Yeah, via the director himself. And so...
Nice.
It was quite something. And I said, look, well, I have to work until a certain time.
Uh-huh.
Do you have a problem with an evening audition? And he goes... No, I don't have a problem at all.
Really?
Yeah, he says...
So he likes you, I guess, based on what he's seen so far.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I guess so, because nice. I remember being submitted for the audition, like, probably, I don't know, maybe at least over a month ago.
Really?
And I never heard anything back, so I was like, okay, obviously, you know,
yeah.
I'm not the one, you know yeah. what I mean, or selected at least.
But you would imagine they would take their time in... And sorting through all the applicants, I'm sure there's
well,
been a lot.
Well, it's actually quite a big ensemble. It's for a feature film. And he was going through casting a whole bunch of other different, you know, roles.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came across me.
Yeah.
And he says, I just put you aside just for a second.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Because I wanted to come back to you. I was like, oh, really?
Nice, nice.
So we ended up having a really good conversation last night.
Really?
Which is why it was, you know, it took me so long, I mean, to get home.
Oh, I see. Okay,
yeah.
Well, cool, cool. So we're going to see you in a movie soon, hopefully?
Well, geez, I hope so. I hope so. It seems really interesting. It's, I mean, it's a 40-something day shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And not that I'm there for that long, but mm-hmm. that's how long. The film is
right,
and it's going to be filmed in Texas, in a couple of places in Texas, including Fort Worth.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's kind of, I have a feeling that it's some sort of almost like a Western, like modern Western kind of film.
Right.
Uh-huh. Because it is, and fascinating enough, it's dancing and singing.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So,
and are you good at dancing?
Yeah, I used to dance. But,
oh, did
but,
you?
I mean, I can do choreograph and that kind of stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I used to do that in Sydney.
Nice.
But I haven't danced since.
Really?
I haven't danced since, so
wow.
I was like, oh well, you know, yeah. Hey, shit, I'll wing it.
Yeah, but don't you have to be in shape in order to do some heavy dancing in a movie?
Well, you know what? No, I think, look, all I have to do is just prove to him that I can do something tonight.
Right.
And then, you know, most likely we're going to have someone who's going to train us, and you do what you have to do.
Yeah, obviously.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You do what you have to do.
Right.
And I don't think I'm a very unfit person in the first place. So,
right.
You know, because I'm always running around like crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
You're not unfit. No.
No. I still got that flat little belly.
Well, we would like to have phone calls, obviously. And just to give out the number, people claim I don't give it out often enough. So.
Really?
Yeah. Because sometimes people don't find it on the website. I try to put it in a logical place where you go
right.
to listen. But I guess not everybody gets it. So our number is 1-818-602-4498. And you can call us with anything. We'd be happy to talk to you. Maybe. Maybe we'll be happy. If not, we'll hang up on you.
Oh. I know. Yeah. Well, and another good reason to call is I have a list in front of me about state trivia. You know, like the first things about states or
uh-huh.
just funny things about, you know, different states
uh-huh.
and what they're known for or what has occurred in that state and oh, so on.
Right.
So, you
interesting.
Know,
so you want to play a game with someone?
Yeah, why not?
All right,
I mean,
let's
you know,
play the state game.
For base information, you know. I think so.
Yeah, trivia's cool. Trivia's
yeah, I love
cool.
trivia.
Do you?
I do.
Well, let's have like a... Well, we'll get to the questions in a minute.
Okay. Well, it's not so much questions. It's like state trivia. Betcha you didn't know this.
Oh, really?
So it's like things that normally you wouldn't even know.
Right. And what is it... Is it for every state or something?
It's for every state.
Really? So what does it have on California, I wonder?
On California, its economy, well, actually, I guess this wouldn't be so surprising.
Yeah.
The economy is so large
mm-hmm. Right. It's like, what, the fifth economy in the world or something?
We would be ranked seventh in the entire world.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that amazing? This state is like a country.
That's unbelievable.
I know.
I mean, I knew it was like big and economy-wise, you know, it's one of the richest states, but like, holy shit, seventh in the world?
Uh-huh.
I know,
we're pretty big, and when you think of some of the countries we're ahead of, you know, it's amazing.
Yeah,
there's a lot going on, obviously, Silicon Valley and, you know, all the high tech, and we've got Hollywood, and that's a lot of money going around.
It certainly is,
you know,
and this
town definitely has a lot of money. There's a lot of people here with a lot of money.
Did you know Alabama was the first place to start the 911 in 1968?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I wonder how they came up with 911.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, in Australia, it's 000.
Is it?
Yeah.
I know. It's
the bottom, the most bottom key.
Yeah.
So if you're down on the ground dying, you can reach up and go 000. You don't have to look at the board.
Yeah.
Could you imagine dying ass and you press 9?
I know.
And then you just can't reach that 1.
I know. Oh, well, what are you going to do, you know?
Yeah, I know.
I wanted to let everybody know we have a new show today at 11. It's called Real Estate Talk Line, and it's presented by Frank and Raj. And they're in New York City. And this is a pleasure to welcome them to the station. They have a very interesting show, very relevant, you know, especially now with housing and everything being in the doldrums pretty much.
Yeah, today in the news they said it's, you know, hit another high, the highest high again. I mean, you know what I mean, like the most foreclosures and so on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just... Yeah.
It's
going
sad. You know,
it's going
sad.
Off the roof.
Yeah, people have been trying to do this, and it just doesn't work for them. You know?
Yeah. I wonder if they... it'd be interesting to hear them speak about this. And, you know, like... because a lot of people, I don't think, were real estate savvy. You know, when all this prime mortgage, and you know, was being lended out and so on.
Yeah.
Because I certainly wasn't savvy about it.
Yeah.
You know, I learned a very valuable lesson about it.
Yeah.
You know, I just heard that even buying property overseas, like I didn't know in Australia, that if you bought property over in Australia, that you can't, you know how here they can say that you can claim your interest on taxes and so on.
Right.
And there's also that period where you don't have to pay, capital gains and so on. Well, back in Australia, you have to pay all that regardless. And there's no kind of like, what do you call that, benefits.
Right.
You know,
like
what I mean?
an incentive to buy a house. Right.
Except for just to pay it out.
Yeah.
You know, and that's
I hear you. Well, you know, every place in the world is different.
Mm.
What a beautiful day today. And the sun is shining.
I felt the heat.
Did
on
you?
My back walking here.
Really?
Yeah. Felt so good.
I know. It's like so beautiful. And yet, you know, back east, they're still struggling with snow and ice and freezing rain.
Cool.
You know, it's just that how can you live like that? You know, I don't know, but I salute these people that live up there, you know.
I don't know. And Seattle continues to get rain.
Yeah. So last night I was invited as a guest on Johnny Dam's show.
Oh yeah,
the Damage Report on Internet TV.
Right.
It's called the Stream TV, the Stream.tv, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
So we went. It was some building on Wilshire, and we go in, and this guy set up a place about maybe just a little bigger than our place here.
Yeah.
And he sort of like separated it into like a studio. And then, like, the back room, and we were doing the show, you know, and it was really weird, though, because it's, a really small place, obviously nothing fancy, and, but, you know, it's like, I was thinking, what if we, obviously when you do TV, you can't have windows and all that, but I'm just wondering if we, you know, if I was, like, crazy enough to start the station in a place like that, you know, with, like, no windows, everything's just dark and dusty and that. And I'm thinking to myself, God, are we so lucky to have the radio station, you
know?
You come in here and it's nice and clean and crisp, you know, and you can see everything. And So, yeah, I was just thinking, you know, we could easily have been in some other place that I picked, but I happen to have a good taste.
Is that where he does his show?
Yeah.
All the time?
Yeah. Yeah, that's where he does it once a week. It's a cool show, yeah. I mean, obviously, if you like Johnny, you're going to like his TV show as well. And his co-host was Joni Coyote, who comes in with him on Thursdays to do the radio show as well. So she was there, and it was nice. And, you know, they take, like instant messages, and then there's a girl that reads it, you know, and on the air. And then Johnny addresses it, you know. So it's pretty cool. You know, I think on radio, though, you know, I'm not that much for IM, you know, although Johnny uses it, and it works for him great. But, you know, I prefer the phone calls. You know, because, you know, if someone wants to be on the radio, then just get on the phone, you know. I mean, because it's so easy to write instant messages and they write bullshit, you know. You know, so so that's so much
for messages. I don't know, it's great for computer sex.
Yeah. I guess you would know, wouldn't you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's funny.
The power of the internet.
Yeah. I know. So that's what we were discussing last night, is really the how people turn to entertainment more on the internet now.
Yeah.
You know. So we were talking about internet TV and internet radio and all sort of things. You know. So it was pretty interesting. You know.
Yeah.
And then but I was really tired. Johnny was tired. You know. So the energy was not as high as it could have been. I'm sure. You know. As if we'd done. You know. I'm a morning person. I'm not a night person. You know. I don't function very well at night. And this show came on at 10 p.m. You know. So we'll have to see. I mean, I saw that they already have a picture of me on the site there.
Right.
As the guest. So. We can watch that later or whatever, you know. I don't know if you want me to play any clips from that. Why not? Nah, well, the problem is that you can't, when it's streaming, you can't fast forward it on that site for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so we're going to have to sit through, you know.
Oh, then you know what? He needs to put it on YouTube then.
Yeah.
You know, like start transferring it over to YouTube.
Yeah.
Where you can like download it. And then you can pull it forward and back and,
right,
and so
right,
on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why here. I mean, there is like
a
guide thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not working.
Oh, darn it.
So a lot of exciting things are happening. Oh, we also have today, Meryl Davis is starting today. And you've heard her. She was on Johnny Dam's show for a couple weeks.
Yes, that's right.
And we decided to give her own show because she's a very funny lady. Very talented, and she's got some cool guests coming. You know, it's really going to be based around comedy. So, like comedians and stuff, she's going to have as guests. So, it should be really funny and entertaining, you know. And she comes on at 4 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, and she may actually take 2 hours for the show today for the debut show. So, it should be pretty exciting, you know. And obviously, if you don't catch it live, you can always go to Meryl Davis's page and download her show, or to any host for that matter.
Right.
And we've had a lot of downloads on our show, Manu. Although most of the shows had a lot of downloads, you know, but ours was, you know, pretty high. So for February. So, you know, so it's exciting, you know. I mean, you know, a lot of people are listening, you know.
Yeah.
And so it makes it all worthwhile, you know.
Well, I last night at work, I was letting people know. Because, you know, we always talk, somewhere along the line, we always talk about politics on the bar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And so, of course, I told them, you know, I do a radio show and I found this really great clip, you know, of the clitoris or whatever.
Yeah, Clinton, yeah.
the Clinton fragrance
right.
and so on.
Yeah.
And I had people, like, cracking up. I was like, you really have to listen to it. And so, anyways, I would assume that there's going to be a few downloads of that, either later last night or today.
Yeah, probably.
To listen to it.
Yeah. Well, we're not reaching that many people. It's going to have an effect, but it might, you know. Who knows?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
You never know.
You never know.
Yeah.
I'm working in a corporate building.
Yeah. So. Yes, you are. You know, I can't believe all these people walk. Oh, you mean the bar is in a corporate building?
Yeah, the bar.
Oh,
yeah,
oh.
The restaurant is in the House of Blues corporate building.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And so I found out that TMZ is in the building.
Oh, wow.
I found out that a what do you call it? a part of Channel 9 Australia is in the building. Of course, you know, the House of Blues, you know, business takes up about four of the floors or something like that.
I see.
And there's all these various companies, corporations, and so on. There's like music corporation up there for, you know, for music producing. There's all sorts of things going on.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. Yeah. Well, that's cool, you know, because, I mean, you mentioned corporate buildings, and I can't get over the fact that, you know, we walk here in the hallways, and there's all these small offices crammed with people, and all they do is sit there like robots for 9 hours, you know, hypnotized by the computer, and... You know, I'm wondering what kind of a day is this.
When you think about it, you could almost do it just from your house.
Yeah,
that's you know them just sitting there and they just take calls. My God, just have an office in your house.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe eventually in the future they're going to do that. You know, because I mean the traffic jams are really bad.
And, yeah, today's traffic was really horrible.
Was it? No, I didn't notice that. I mean, for me it was normal, but
yeah. No. There was something. There was really odd. Like, what is going on here?
Yeah. Yeah. So I, you know, office work is just not for me.
No.
You know, I've realized that a long time ago.
Hey, I've tried it more than enough times to know, like, okay, this job will kill me.
Yeah. That's it. I mean, look, if you're born a creative person and
and
you're stuck in an area like that, you wilt, you know? I mean, you just
do.
You know, it's not healthy to be in an environment that you can't stand.
Yeah.
You know, and so many people do that so often that that then they become miserable and they burn out on the job.
Yeah.
And they wonder why.
You know? Yeah, and they become suicidal.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
And then they become bastards over the phone.
Yeah, bastards it is. Let's take a quick break because I'm still trying to set up Frank for the 11 o'clock show.
Okay.
So we'll take a quick break, see if I can... I can do some things here, so...
do a little bit more work on the side?
Yeah, on the side. Well, actually, I don't know if it's going to work when I'm thinking about it.
Oh, boy.
Well, yeah.
Well, I have to take a loo break anyway.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay, well, in that case...
See if you can figure something else out, Sam.
Okay.
All right.
You're listening to California Dreaming with your hosts, Sam and Manu. Only on BBS Talk Radio.
We're gonna make it.
broadcasting live from high atop the BBS Talk Radio building. You're listening to the Sam and Manu Show.
So, Florida and Michigan are back in the news now, and this could actually change the picture of the Democratic nomination, because I don't know if you remember, but when Florida and Michigan elections were held, no delegates were given to the candidates.
Right, to the Democratic.
Yes.
Right, I remember that.
Yes, and the reason is if you recall, they were stripped off their rights to send delegates because they've held primaries too early in the past. So, but now these states are contending that the races are too close and they want to be able to send delegates as well.
Yeah.
So this is like in the headlines, because I mean this could really change things, you know.
It certainly
so,
could.
And isn't that interesting how Florida always gets caught up in this shit? You know, I mean that's when, you know, that's when they had to do the recount in Florida, and it took days until they decided
who won.
Yeah,
we know what
won.
Happened there.
Yeah. So just for those who don't remember.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
You know, I mean it would so it really depends on the Democratic the party heads, you know, they have to decide
right.
whether to do this or not. So I don't know what's going to happen, but things could change rather quickly.
My so gosh, and particularly if they're going to go ahead and do the delegates there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly, because what they feel is that without it, they won't have enough delegates to reach the number that they need to reach, you know?
Yeah, because they're way below the number.
Yes.
Why do they have to reach that number? I don't understand.
I don't know.
No, I mean, you know, like yes. you said, they have to reach like 2,000 and something.
Right, exactly. And maybe that would show that you have a majority or something. You know, that would be like a decided majority.
Right.
You know.
Okay. And this is for presidency. This is for...
Well, this is to represent the Democratic Party.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So whoever wins, obviously, is going to run against McCain. And so it's anybody's guess as to what's going to happen with the Democratic.
So is it said here. That McCain is going to be the Republic?
Yes, for sure now.
Wow.
For sure, yeah. Yeah. But
wow.
It was clear a few weeks ago already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other dudes just keep on going.
Now it was sealed, yeah.
He can still the money.
Exactly. Not his money. What does he care, you know?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Now, do you tend to buy gift cards for friends and family and stuff like that sometimes for holidays, birthdays?
Yeah, actually, more so now than I used to.
Yeah, because they're a lot more acceptable now. It used to be that if you bought a gift card, you were like a lazy bum, you know, that didn't want to actually go out there and do some shopping.
Right.
But now it's acceptable because you figure most people are going to take back what you buy them anyway.
Yeah.
You know? So you might as well get them a card and have them buy whatever they want. So as it turns out, though, these cards sometimes are risky. And that is because... the latest company to do this is the Sharper Image. And
right.
What they're doing is they temporarily...
Oh, right. Sharper Image. Okay, yeah.
Yes. You know Sharper Image
yeah,
with all
uh-huh.
the gadgets and stuff? It's
yeah.
it's a neat store, right?
It is cool.
Yeah, but what I've always noticed about it is everybody goes in, they sit on the massage chairs, they try everything, and nobody buys anything, you know? So it's one of those shops where you just go in and you never buy, and
right.
you wonder how the hell are they staying in business.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. So, at any rate, they announced that they're not going to accept their gift cards anymore because and they're not really saying why, but experts are saying usually companies do that when they go into Chapter 11, into bankruptcy protection.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, in which case what they do is they view the credit cards not as – I mean the gift cards not as cash but as a loan to the company. And when you think about it, that's essentially what you're doing. I mean, you might as well give someone money and let them buy wherever they want. What's the point of the gift card, you know? I mean, it's in essence, you're forcing the recipient to buy something
from
in
that
particular
store.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not that great a thing.
Right.
And also, when you think about it, you know, like obviously now... There's nobody is going to honor this card, you
right,
know, so your money
right.
is in the pits, you know.
See, I like the idea of, you know, like the AMX, what do you call it, you know, American Express gift cards.
Right.
Or those kind of cards.
Right, yeah,
that
those
you can
use anywhere.
You
That's
know what I mean?
Right.
That, it's just like you know, an expiring credit
card. Yeah, it is like a credit card. You're right.
So that's
kind of
neat.
Yeah.
And I think the best gift card that I've ever gotten was one from Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's?
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
I mean, that's a grocery store.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my God.
And it was exciting. It's like, yay, you have a gift card from Trader Joe's. It was when I didn't have any money to buy myself some groceries.
I see. Okay.
Someone gave me a gift card.
So I would see why you'd be all excited about that.
Yeah.
Ecstatic.
Yay, I got milk in my fridge.
Yeah. And so it's interesting because you never really think of gift cards as a risky business. But
no.
But it is now. I mean, you know, if you don't use it right away, you might not be able to use it at all.
I never thought of that, though.
I know. Who
does? I never
does?
Thought about that.
Who thinks about that, you know? But so apparently they're experiencing financial problems, which is exactly what I was wondering about.
Yeah.
You know, they don't sell shit, I don't think, not compared to the people that go in.
No.
You know?
I remember sitting on those massage chairs.
Yeah, they're cool, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, it massages your whole body.
Yeah.
And all you need is just a little masseuse to rub your pubic area. And then it's a complete massage.
I don't know, Sam. If you go to Thailand, I'm not kidding you. Your massages are so inexpensive. We're talking about, I don't know, let's just say it's $10 American, right? $10 right. American. And if you give them a couple of more dollars, you'll be able to get a happy ending.
Mm.
Seriously.
And that's in Thailand.
They do massage, you know, feel good, you know, all this kind of stuff.
How do you know
and,
that?
And then, because I've been to Thailand.
Yes,
yeah,
and?
And they do it for women, too. They can do it for women as well.
But no happy ending for women.
No. They will
do?
Offer a happy ending for
Are
women.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
And women actually go to get it done?
Well, I don't know. I didn't get it done. I was like, huh?
So
what
how
do
did you
mean?
Know about that? So someone told you?
Well, I just, you figure it out. You figure it out.
Mm.
And it's like, oh, happy ending. I see. But, yeah, guys, you know, they'd give you a massage and they look at you and go, like, would you like happy ending?
Yes, and give you a little hand job and get you, and off you go.
All right, I feel good now.
I know.
But what a great relief. But see, to them, it's not a sexual thing. You know what I mean? To them,
a happy ending is not a sexual thing.
No.
It's a relaxation type of thing?
It's like the booster of relaxation. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Because you're getting this hour massage. And already you're in bliss.
Yeah.
And then the happy ending is like, oh, my God, I feel so good now.
Well, women here should learn how to do that.
Hell, yeah. They're so uptight.
Yeah, happy ending. Help me to relax, honey. Give me a happy ending. You know, but you're talking about massage. You know, I was often wondering about masseuses and the nature of the job. And we already talked about how gross it is to touch somebody else.
Particularly if it's not a good-looking body.
Yeah, exactly. You know, with all those rolls and moles and hairy, you know, hairy moles.
That's like gross.
I know, aren't those gross? So, but my question is, though, I mean, your fingers have to really start hurting after a while. You know, I mean, you're working with your fingers all day. It's got to be, like, painful.
It's your fingers, your wrists, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I give massages, and, my God, it's really, really tiring.
Well, did you ever get a Thai massage? I mean, we're talking about Thailand.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, but, I mean, I got Thai massage, but here, not in Thailand. No happy endings at all here.
No.
Yeah. It's just an ordinary ending every time. But what they do is, I mean, they're like, bend your legs and push their legs into your crotch to stretch your legs and that sort of thing. And it's like, I mean, the whole body is involved in giving you a massage.
Yeah. I had this little thing, right? I remember this.
Yeah.
This tiny little girl.
They stand on your back and shit.
Yeah. And she like digging with the feet and her knees and her elbows, but the even more interestingly, she sits up behind me and she puts her arms underneath my arms and lifts me
backwards
up over her. So she's curled up in a ball,
right?
And then she lifts you up over above her knees and above her,
right?
And so you're almost being
I know, it's like a rubber doll, you know? I mean, yeah, contortionist, exactly, you know? I mean, they bend you in every which way.
Yeah, I was really surprised. I mean, because, you know, I wasn't, it was very, very new to me back then.
Yeah.
And I'm going like, oh, wow, what the hell is going on? It was like I was having an aerobic session or something like that.
I know. You know, I wonder how many of these hot masseuses get hit on by the guy they're giving massage to, you know?
And, no, I don't know.
Because, I mean, you put, you know, I mean, you start to relax someone. They can, you can put them in an aroused state in no time. And
more so men.
Well, I mean, obviously,
men,
gee.
Yeah, you know.
I think it goes without saying, right?
Yeah.
She's rolling her eyes.
I am, because, I mean, it's so true, though. You know, it's so true. Can you... I mean, you know, for the most part, you know, it's all hanging there.
Yeah.
And they're getting into the groin, into the crutch, and around the belly. And
exactly.
So on. And, of course, I assume for a guy, he's like, doing.
Yeah.
Hello.
You know, and which reminds me, you know how yesterday we had the hypnotherapist here where we're talking about, like, the state of your mind when you're hypnotized. And I now remember for my birthday last year, my my wife got us, like, massage at this really nice hotel out here on Sunset. I can't remember the name. And so it's like a, you know, really classy spa and everything.
Right.
So it's like they give you a massage with aromatherapy, you know, and I've never done that. So they use, you know, all kinds of...
Smells and stuff to relax and lotion. All that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So I remember I actually fell asleep, but it wasn't falling asleep. I think it was a similar... a state that I was in when I was hypnotized.
Yes.
It's like you're sort of like aware of what's going on, but you're asleep.
Yeah.
You know, semi-asleep. And I remember I got up from this when she was done. I was so relaxed, I couldn't even get up, you know. And you just, your whole body is just like, you know. But on the other hand, you don't really, you're not aware of the massage, you know. So you don't really get to enjoy it that much. But the state of mind that you wake up with is just so relaxed, you know. I mean, you can just...
I know,
like,
and it makes us like... And then you step out to the... Then you step out to the real world and you go, like,
I know. You can't even deal with it. You're so relaxed. With all the traffic and the assholes out there.
And then it's amazing. Like, a couple of hours later, you're just like, oh, well, we're back in action again. God darn it. And then you think, wow, that was a waste of a couple of $100.
Yeah, I know. It's expensive as hell.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
you know, but
it can
be. I guess once... In a blue moon, it's nice to treat yourself to something like that.
But you know what? There's some really good deals in massages around all through L.A. There is a particular spa on Olympic Boulevard, close to Koreatown, called the Olympic Spa. And there's a women's side and a men's side. So, you know, women's side, because we all walk around naked. I've been there.
Oh, really?
You pay $15 just to spend an entire day or however long you want.
Really?
And they have different, like, spas and saunas, dry saunas.
Is it clean, though, or is it
gross? Yeah. No. It's clean. Yeah. Well, on the women's side, it was very clean.
Oh, okay.
You know, they have, like,
well, the
salt
men's side
mats,
is something else, right?
Salt mats, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's really, really cool.
Really?
And then for, like, $30 or $40, you can get an hour massage.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, I mean, to pay $30-$40 for an hour massage is almost unheard of.
Yeah. Not bad.
Not bad at all.
Maybe we'll go. I don't mind these places. I mean, you know, it's like I never used to like get a massage and stuff.
Yeah.
You know? It's like get your hands off of me type of a thing.
But you have to walk around naked.
Where?
In these spas.
Oh, and yeah. No.
Well, you just wrap a towel around you.
No, or a robe. I mean, we got some nice robes. You know, you go in the bathroom and...
Oh, no, I'm talking about this spa that I was just telling you about.
I know, but I'm telling you about another spa
right.
That, you know, it doesn't have to be like that.
Mm-mm.
You know, I mean, you don't have to walk around naked.
No.
I think it makes more sense to walk around with a robe, you know.
Yeah. Remember when I was in Japan, I went to the first spa, you know, where you're just completely naked.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like... Oh, wow. You know, like...
And they're probably all admiring your white body, right?
They were all checking me out.
Yeah, because I understand, like, in China, they go crazy over hairy men, you know, from the West.
Yeah.
Because they all have no hair on their bodies, so...
William was saying that when he lived in Japan for a year. And, you know, he speaks, reads, writes Japanese.
That's amazing.
I know.
You told me.
Yeah. And anyways, he went to one of those spas because, you know, he's down with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, what the hell, you know.
And so he's kind of like this scrawny guy. He's not a big guy.
Right.
But you know, I mean, he's very extremely well endowed. And okay. He said,
I'm sure you had to stick that in, right?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, he went to the spa and he said all the Japanese men just like, ooh, you know. Like, ooh, wait, you know what I mean? That was so fascinated that
they didn't want to touch it.
He had to, like, cover himself up. But even still, they were asking him, like, man, can I see? Can I see? Look. You know, and they're trying to lift up his...
That's fucking gay. Okay, what culture that's in?
Oh, my
God. You don't walk around looking at other men's dicks, you know? Just doesn't work like that.
Well, I remember told that my titties were nice and perky.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like,
they told you?
Yeah.
Who told you that?
The Japanese woman.
Japanese woman.
Yeah, they go like, ooh.
Yeah, perky tits, wow.
And, you know, they do the whole curve thing. Ooh, nice buddy, you know, like, nice buddy, you know. Yeah. I was so funny.
Let me stick a finger in there.
I was like, oh, God, this is strange. But it was so funny. It's so funny. Yeah,
I know.
Because I was the tallest woman up there and probably the most curviest.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. You know, Japanese women are just straight up and down. Yeah, exactly. No ass.
Exactly, yeah. And then the face also. Sometimes it looks like someone hit them with a pan or something, you know.
Oh, my God.
It's all like flattened out, you know. I mean, no offense or anything. But, I know. Unusual, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, races are so funny, you know.
I know, isn't it funny how different cultures just have these significant looks? The white Western world.
Right.
Our looks are just so diverse and in every form, shape, and matter. But when you, it's when you go to a country like Thailand or Japan or China that you think, God, how many people can look so much fucking alike?
Yeah.
Like, everything about them is almost exactly the same.
But, you know, they could say the same thing about us. That's the whole point, you know, because we're viewing them as a race.
Right.
So even when they look so different, because, I mean, you can tell the difference between Koreans and Vietnamese and Chinese and Japanese, you know, but, so you can, I mean, you can learn the differences and stuff. But yes, in general, I mean, they're that race, you know, they're Asians. And... So they would, you know, I mean, I think they look at us in the same way, you know.
I think they look at us as a colorful rainbow.
Yeah. You know, but I don't know what the story is in Japan in China with teeth. You know, my brother's been there a couple times and he talks about how everybody's teeth, it's like you'll see a beautiful woman and then she'll open her mouth to smile and these like out of place teeth, like totally crooked and everything. So they must not have a lot of dentists there, but...
I think it could be a gene pool.
Yeah, maybe.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Maybe it's in their blood that they have terrible teeth when they're born, you know?
Yeah, well, it's all hereditary.
Yeah, but you know, apparently in China, it constantly smells outside, you know, from all the foods and everything that is cooked, but all kinds of smells. And... my brother thought that, he says, you are never going to be able to last there for 2 minutes because I'm very sensitive to smells. You
right.
know? He says, you wouldn't even survive here. And then he says, you can never see the sun. I mean, there's so much pollution there. The sun never gets through the pollution. It's always
overcast.
Wow,
are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah. It's overcast all the time.
Oh, that sounds so horrible.
It is. Can you imagine living in gray all the time, you know, and it stinks.
And it's all pollution?
Yeah, and think how crowded it is over there, you know. So, I don't know. I mean, a trip would be very fascinating to take there. But,
I wonder if that's where the frog with six legs came out, or two heads, or fish with two heads, or, you know what I mean? That kind of stuff.
I don't know. They'll eat anything there.
I know in Bangkok, when I went into Bangkok, Bangkok. Bangkok.
You know, there was a song, Bangagong, you know, so.
Oh, was there?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that. But there's like warning signs everywhere. You can't even touch the water that goes through that city.
Yeah.
Not even with a toothbrush, nothing. Everything has to come out of a bottle.
Really?
Because you will get sick like a dog.
Really?
And I remember getting into the airport. And the hotel that I was going to be staying in, they even had a bridge, like a closed-in bridge, over the Bangkok River and into the hotel. I mean, so it was this nice big long bridge closed in.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, wow, this is kind of strange, you know.
Uh-huh.
But looking down at the river, I mean, it was like filth, absolute filth down there.
It was just disgusting.
It was just
nasty. And I don't
understand
how they go and wash themselves in the rivers.
And
there,
they do.
You know?
They do. And I was just like, wow, this is a bit of a culture shock.
Yeah.
And anyway, so I go into the hotel and I thought, well, you know, I'm going to go check out the city. I couldn't handle the smell. The smell was so rotten that it just made me ill. I was getting so ill.
Yeah.
And so that I just went back to the hotel and I spent 2 days back
in
the hotel.
Yeah.
Until I could get on a bus to, you know, take me out, you know, out of the Bangkok city.
Yeah. See, that's the thing is that I don't really have a desire to go to these places.
Mm.
You know, when you travel, there's so many great places to go in the world.
Yeah.
Why would I go to like a third world country? You know, you don't know the laws there, you know, and you just like, I mean, I've heard people getting arrested in Thailand for like, for nothing. You know?
Yeah.
Because they're
yeah.
like very strict in some of their laws. I mean, God forbid you light up a joint there, man. You end up in jail.
Go to Hong Kong. You can't even chew gum.
Yeah.
Don't get caught chewing gum.
I know.
Or
it's like so weird, you know?
Or you know, like snotting something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's very, very strict. But it's an extremely clean city.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, yeah, that thanks to laws like this, obviously.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to be tough-handed, I guess, to really get people to cooperate.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Our number is 818-602-4498. We're not going to wait for your calls, but if you call, we'd love to talk to you. And, yeah, maybe we should start doing contests and stuff like games, you know? I'd like to do games. I don't know what we give as prizes.
I don't know what.
When we have some sponsors, we'll give away $500 or something.
So you've heard of the Ouija board?
Yes.
All right. Where do you think the Ouija board came from or invented or, you know what I mean, somehow discovered?
Yeah. Well, based on the name Ouija, I don't know what that means. Where? In New Zealand?
No. And we're talking about like trivia, the States.
Oh, in the States?
Yeah.
Hmm. Ouija board.
Yeah.
I don't know what state it would be from.
You don't?
No.
Not even a guess?
No.
Well, you know, when you think about it, most people would think, New Orleans.
Right.
Right?
Oh, because of mysticism there and voodoo.
Because of mysticism and voodoo and all that kind of stuff.
All right.
Well, in actual fact, it was Maryland.
Oh,
Maryland, yeah. The Ouija board was created in Baltimore in 1892.
Yeah. Did you ever play something like that?
Yes,
with the Ouija
I did.
Board? Isn't that like weird? I mean, but it's bullshit, you know?
No.
It's not bullshit.
No, my
experience. So you think the spirits are moving the glass?
Totally. Totally. Totally.
Manu, I can't believe this.
It freaked the shit out of me.
Manu, it doesn't happen, okay?
No, I'm serious.
Shit like this does not happen, okay?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Well, what I'm telling you is that spirits do not have any impact on the physical world. That's why we have a body. Okay, for the soul. So we can actually function in the material world. You know, souls cannot do that, spirits.
So then how did this glass move from underneath my mother and her sister, and I was there.
Yeah.
I wasn't playing. I was just watching in. I was just standing there. The glass is moving around, and they're doing all sorts of stuff, right?
Yeah.
And it's going around. And then the bloody thing just flies off up against the freaking wall. And smashes. Explain that.
Explain. The glass gets thrown against the wall.
The glass just shoots off and smashes against the brick wall.
Okay, well, I don't believe it.
I saw it with my own eyes.
Okay, well, you must have been high or... I don't know. Somebody pulled something on you, Manu.
Why would my mother and my auntie pull something on me like that?
I don't know. How old were you?
I was like 12 years old.
Oh, thank you very much. Okay.
11, 12 years old.
Okay, your memory is not as great from age 12 as it was, you know, a year ago, Manu.
Oh, bullshit.
Okay. Give me a break, okay?
Give me a break.
No, you do this now, okay? You get us a Ouija board. I want to do that. Okay, we'll do this on the air.
I don't know how to do it because I don't know how to bring the spirits.
No, but it tells you.
I wasn't told how to.
And who brought the spirits that time when you were there?
My mother and my auntie.
They brought the spirits, and they know how.
Yes.
Okay. They didn't teach you?
The thing is how does a glass fly off the board into the wall?
Look, I don't know. I know you saw something. I don't know what you saw.
I saw a freaking glass break, Sam.
Manu. Okay, well, you're never going to convince me. What can I tell you?
I know.
I want us to bring a Ouija board here, okay? Bring an expert on Ouija boards.
No, I don't fuck with them. After I saw that, I was like, okay, I am never going near that shit.
Okay, well, you know what? I'm going to try it this weekend, okay?
Oh, yeah. I'll get a Ouija board. You are going to fail miserably.
Why?
Because it's already evident.
What?
You don't believe in it.
Exactly.
You think it's bullshit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But if it's real, then it's going to happen anyway, regardless of what I think.
Do you believe in psychics?
No.
Do you believe in palm reading?
Well, maybe there's something in palm reading, but no.
Do you believe in the cards?
No.
Oh.
No.
That's all I've got to say.
Yeah, I know. You need to be listening to BBS Radio, not BBS Talk Radio. They have all that stuff there. I'm sure you'd find a home there.
Oh, dear me. I don't know about these things, Manu.
I mean, give me the real word, like I told
you. Okay, here's something for you, Sam.
Okay.
In Connecticut, the Frisbee was invented just for you.
Oh, wow. I used to like Frisbee, actually.
At Yale University.
Oh,
there
yeah?
There you go.
They actually invented it at a university?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. In Colorado in 1976 was the only state ever, the only place ever to turn down the Olympics in 1976.
Really?
Apparently so.
Oh, so we ended up having them where? Where was it in 1976?
I don't know where
it
was.
I can't even remember.
But, I don't know.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yep.
Maybe they felt they weren't prepared for it. It would be too much of a burden on them.
I don't know.
But was it held in the United States that year? I mean, was it like a few states got a choice,
or
was
it just
Colorado or nothing as far as the as the Olympic Committee is concerned? You don't know?
I don't know. Yeah. That's not information that they're giving us.
They just want to give us the quick and dirty.
Yeah. So what else did I find here? There's some interesting stuff in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can say that again.
Yep. Okay. Oh, we got a phone call. Hold on. Good morning. You're on the air from Cleveland.
Sam.
You need to turn off your radio, man.
Sorry.
Okay.
Please tell me you guys are still talking about this Ouija board.
Yeah, we are. Well, we stopped talking about it, but go ahead.
Manu, you can't be serious.
Yeah, no, I am.
No. That is the biggest BS running on the market. Nobody even plays with a Ouija board anymore. And remember, the keyword that I just said is play the Ouija board.
Yeah, exactly.
You put your fingers on it, and then you have like two or three of your buddies or your girlfriends or whatever. Typically, when lightning and thunder storm outside, and your friends move it around to spell out things that you want it to spell out, you pretend like you're so freaked out.
Now, this wasn't with friends. This was just my mother and auntie.
Yeah, and also
yes,
Greg,
they would never play a trick on you, right?
And I've never seen it anywhere else because it scared the shit out of me. And I was like, okay, I've never seen anything like that before. And this glass just flew off the table up against the brick wall. So
I don't know the things that people see.
That was enough for me to say, okay, that's something that I would never want to mess with.
Yeah,
plus here's what I think. If you get a Ouija board in that office.
Yes.
And you put the glass down on it, and you sit it down there for the 2 hours you're doing your show. That thing will not move.
Of course not.
No, because she claims
it won't move in any other circumstance. It will not move in any other circumstance.
No, it won't. But she says that you have to connect with the spirits first, and then it'll move. You know, but the thing is also keep in mind though, Greg, that she did not have the package game that we buy at the store now. I mean, at the age of 12, where Manu lived, I'm sure they made up a board of their own or something, you know.
No, but you also have to remember too that you know, my mother is from indigenous, you know, tribes, so I have, you know, a different, completely different background.
That's
where
right. Yeah.
Where we rely on we rely on spirit calling. We rely on, we just have a different understanding of what's involved. It's just like shamanism and so on, and dealing with the spirit worlds. The Native Americans are exactly the same.
Yeah. You see, I mean, I, like, for example, I believe we have a soul. I believe in the soul and reincarnation.
Oh, I do
and
too.
So forth.
Believe me.
But but the thing is that I mean, the soul by nature does not have any effect here on, you know, physically. You can't move anything. You can't, you know, I mean, so it's the soul just is, you know, it seems to exist. And again, you have to believe in this. It's just that by deduction, I figure that there has to be a soul. Mm-hmm. You know? What do you think about that, Greg?
I don't know what I think about that.
You think it's a bunch of bullshit?
I don't.
Do you think? But do you also think?
I think a lot of this stuff is stuff that you either believe in or you don't. Yeah. And if you believe in it, then perhaps you have more of a propensity to think that things are happening when they really aren't.
Right.
Do you think, just like
religion, and you know, if you're tribal or whatever, I think it's stuff that is you decide to believe in. It's something you're brought up with, and that's it. I don't know. That's an honest answer. I just don't know if you have soul, or if your religion, if there's a heaven or what happens when you die. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, because obviously we have more, you know, I mean, that's a long conversation, but to make it brief, you know, I feel that there's got to be a soul, because there has to be something that moves the body and that is responsible for all our things that are not really physical, you know, the things like our thoughts, our values, or things like this. I think there's something there that, you know, that just exists beyond this body, you know. Now, the connection to, you know, I don't think this is like mutually exclusive, where if you believe in that, you have to believe in tarot cards and Ouija boards and all that stuff, you know. And you know, simply because I feel that, you know, I mean, somehow there's something more to human beings, or to all living things, I think.
I think so,
that you don't have in something else, you know.
But it's about how you are able to connect, or what, what you are open to, perhaps, or, you know what I mean? You know, like, you know how it always says, you know, young children are the ones that are more likely to encounter, spirits.
Right.
Or something from the other side.
Yeah.
Because their minds or their bodies are the most...
they're not blocked up yet.
They're not blocked.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Yeah. And whereas adults, you know...
Yeah.
It's a little harder for us to open up to, you know, things like that.
Yeah. But, you know, actually, I'm thinking that perhaps in Cleveland there are no souls, you know?
Goddamn right, because that LeBron James tore up the New York Knicks, dropped 50, got 10 rebounds, and dished out 8 assists, and he said it was the best time of his life. It was the best night of life. So I guarantee that there is no soul here in Cleveland, because the guy that was born 10 minutes away from downtown Cleveland in Akron, and who brought the Cavaliers to a title run last year, is ready to leave as quickly as possible to go to the Knicks. So there is no soul here in Cleveland. I completely agree.
Well, you know what? In Ohio, okay, this is your state, right?
Yeah.
This just proves that there's no spirits there or no soul.
Oh, okay. Let's hear the trivia in Ohio.
In the 1900? In 1900, exactly, the hot dog was invented.
Really? In Ohio?
Yeah.
Well, Greg, thank you very much. I love hot dogs.
And it's so funny how, you know, hot dog, barbecues, and so on.
I know. Well, Greg, being the representative of Ohio, we have to personally thank you for hot dogs, man.
Yeah.
Also, Sam, before I go, I just wanted to compliment you on your Ustream.tv appearance on the Damage Report last night.
Yeah, was it any good, Greg? I mean, I haven't really watched it. I felt it sucked, my appearance, but because I never had
I think we're all our own worst critics.
Yeah, but you know, it's really hard because we weren't really facing each other. So you're like each one of us is looking in a different direction. You have to look into the eye of the camera and talk, you know.
Yeah.
And I sort of expected something more like a David David Letterman or, you know, any of these late night talk shows where, you know, there's the host with the desk, and then you sit next to them in the chair and you have a conversation. But here everybody's like looking to different cameras and doing this. Mm-hmm. I'm sure because of the setup, you know, and you have only one person controlling all the cameras and the cuts and stuff. So it's, you know, so yeah, I can see where that would be a problem. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I was not focused at all on what I was saying. I was too preoccupied with the mechanics of it all.
I thought, it airs at 10 o'clock Pacific, so it was, you know, I was well asleep when it actually aired live, but I watched it this morning.
Yeah.
And I thought you didn't seem preoccupied at all. You were well-spoken. You had a lot of good thoughts, and I didn't think it was bad at all. I thought it went very well. The show was a little bit shorter than usual, but
yes, that's what Johnny said. Yeah, he was beat, man. He was so friggin' tired, you know. That I mean, to cut your show short, obviously, when you anticipate to do it all week, obviously you don't do it lightly. But I think he felt tired, you know, or maybe he just ran out of things to say.
It's gotta be a tough day for him. I mean, he does the radio show in the afternoon, and then he can go do the show later at night. I mean, it's not even like he can go do one and then go right to the other. There's a big gap in between the radio show ending and the TV show starting.
Does he have another job?
Who, Johnny?
Johnny.
Yeah, yeah.
He's
got like a day job and stuff, of course, you know, to survive. But he also pursues his dreams, you know, and he wanted to do TV and radio, and he's doing it, you know, and he's doing very well at it,
cool.
I might add. And Greg, I just wanted to tell you, I was listening to Johnny's show this morning when I was getting ready, and that impression you did. Of that really high voice, who is that? I mean, was it like an Asian character or something, a Japanese?
Yeah.
Can you do it?
That's kind of become a recurring bit on Johnny's show in the beginning. Or I was trying to get into to TJ's show at the end, but I don't think he likes to pick up my call. A couple weeks ago, TJ and Johnny were talking about a comedian called Dat Fan. And he had been on Johnny's TV show, and his claim to fame, Dat Fan, is winning the first season of Last Comic Standing.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you were talking about...
TJ was just buffed him a new one on the end of his show going into Johnny, so I called in and pretended I was Dat Fan. a terrible Oriental accent and just, you know, basically painting a big front Asian stroke. I mean, I was saying I was Chinese and Japanese, but he's really Vietnamese. And so that's kind of where it's grown. And then I was able, now with Skype, I was able to lock in my mixer and just put a really high-pitched effect on my voice.
Yeah, I know. It sounded pretty good.
The impression is ever evolving. Yesterday was its best Dat Fan impression so far.
Great. Well, you're going to have to call us sometimes with some impressions, man. You can't be funny only on Johnny's show, you know.
Yeah, we'll work on some bits. And now I'm telling you, I caught the very tail end of me getting off of Johnny's show because of the delay.
Right.
And when you use Skype, like my Skype name, into Skype versus me calling into Skype here on the telephone,
right?
Uh-huh. I was so impressed with the sound quality. It was really like I was sitting in with those guys.
It really was, you know, because I was sitting there as a listener, and you sounded like you were just here in the studio, you know.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, so I would encourage people who call who have Skype to call us on Skype directly, actually to the phone number as well, yeah. And it would be awesome, yeah. Well, Greg, thanks very much for your appearance, man. I appreciate it. I know you always listen, and we love you up there. And we love the barbecue show. And, yes, it is irreverent, entertaining, and cool. So there you go.
what's your favorite sausage? I got to ask you this. What's the best sausage? Well, yeah, you know, like hot dog sausage or something like that. What would you say? Because I have a phobia about freaking hot dogs and sausages.
Really? What kind of phobia?
Well, I don't know. It was because when I was in the military, I went to the meat marts, you know what I mean, like to pick up food for the troops and so on.
Uh-huh.
And I saw like the most disgusting things going into the sausage thing. And ever since then, hot dogs and sausages, I can't do it.
Really?
Yeah.
I think hot dogs have gotten quite now I can't speak for the actual product generation, you know, but I think There was a movie called The Great Outdoors or something like that with, I believe it was John Candy and Dan Aykroyd.
Yes, right.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
They made a reference to hot dogs being made out of lips and assholes. I think, you know, that kind of generated a lot of hysteria. But if you look at the actual ingredients, I mean, there's a lot of all beef hot dogs, especially like the kosher made hot dogs are really
exactly.
good.
Yeah. You know, remember their commercial, "We answer to a higher authority," you know, with the kosher.
Exactly. The Hebrew National brand. Those are my favorite hot dogs. Yeah. Hebrew National brand hot dogs are the best.
Are they?
Aside from if you can get through an actual, like a restaurant distributor, like a Sysco or somebody like that.
Right.
I love and always buy Hebrew National hot dogs. They're the best.
Yeah. What are they?
But
Hebrew National hot dogs.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
They answer to a higher calling. That's
exactly.
Their,
there you go. You see? Yes.
they come in with a glowing light around them.
On my barbecue form, there's a whole sausage. And, I mean, if you're worried about going into it, if you get some, standard pieces of equipment, you can grind sausage and get a little casing machine and get your cases and stuff your own sausage. I mean, it's really easy and it's really good.
Yeah. Manu, what's happening to you? She's like, hold
on. I'm going to break away from the barbecue and I'm going to have my sausage guy on and talk and have him tell people how to make their own sausage to get over that, because you can make your own very easily.
Okay. Well, I think I might have to do that.
Yeah, and I think she'll stay away from assholes, you know.
And lips.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Take care and have a great show.
Okay, Greg. Take care. That was Greg Rempe from Cleveland, our biggest fan, I think, of the whole station.
Yeah.
He listens, and he listens good, and he participates, and that's the nice thing.
Yeah,
about it,
it's true.
So, so we're happy to have Greg on the show, on the station, actually. And his show, of course, is on Tuesdays at 6, Barbecue Central. Very interesting, very entertaining. And I know I learned a couple things. So when we start barbecuing again, it gets a little warmer outside.
You go like, oh.
Yeah, I'm going to be with Greg on the phone every day, every weekend, you know.
Like, how do I do this, Greg?
Yeah, I know.
Vermont, the state of Vermont, Montpelier. Is that how we say that? The city in Vermont, Montpelier.
I never heard of that city before.
Oh, Montpelier, I think it's called, is the only state it's the capital of Vermont.
Right.
Wow, that doesn't have a McDonald's. Can you believe that?
How dare they?
Oh, my God.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
and I'm sure it's not for lack of trying.
No, I'm sure. You know? I'm sure. I have a feeling that maybe the state said, "Hell no, we're not getting any fat people here."
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's horrible sometimes.
Yep, it is. But you ready for a good break?
Oh yeah, if you say so.
Remember Shaft, the movie?
Oh yeah. I used to watch the series.
Did you?
And then I went and saw the movie Shaft with Samuel L. Jackson?
Nah.
No, you
mean the new one?
I'm
talking about the old ones.
Well, there was the new one. And then the real dude showed up
as a
guest.
That's right. Richard Roundtree was
his
name.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
But I do remember watching the old series. It was great.
Well, this is Isaac Hayes with a theme from Shaft. Will you say anything to get what you want, Manu?
No.
You stop it. You have points where you don't go. You don't cross.
I guess so, yeah.
Really?
I think you have to.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you don't know. You know, I mean, sometimes you just have to say what people want to hear so you can get your way.
Yeah, well, you know what? Sometimes I have gotten into hot water saying what I feel like.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. I guess you have to think
twice. I'm serious, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be like, God damn. Well, anyway.
You don't want to tell us about it?
Do you want to hear it?
Sure.
No.
Okay.
I can't.
Never mind. Okay.
Never mind, I can't.
Yeah. You see, we're not at the point yet where it actually makes sense to reveal our personal lives, you know, because it's just we have to keep something sacred and secret, you know.
No.
Private.
This isn't like sacred or secret or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's just it's probably it's a sensitive, super sensitive subject matter.
I see. Okay.
And it was something that happened to me. I think it was last year when I was on the film of First Sunday with Ice Cube.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, you're teasing us and you're not going to tell us what it's going to be. So.
No, it's a little intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you heard, but it says here that Robert Downey Jr. pretends to be black in a new film. So he plays an overly committed actor, a white man cast to play a black soldier in a satire.
Really?
So, so that's pretty interesting with Jack Black and Ben Stiller. So, so it'd be interesting to see that. It's unusual.
Yeah, you know? No kidding.
Yeah. So the movie is about a young white man that has to play a black role in a movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that would be interesting to see. You think they put, like, black faces on them and stuff?
I don't know.
No, I hope not. There's no way.
I hope not, Dad.
It's not politically correct at all.
Do you mean, like, Downey Jr.? Oh, my God. Come on, please.
I know. But you know what? He's coming out with Iron Man soon. Do you like those comic book movies?
Really? Yeah, I do.
Yeah, he's going to be, what was his name? Clark? Kent Clark? I don't know. Clark Kent. No, Clark Kent is Superman. Come on.
Yeah.
No, I don't remember his name, but I used to read it when I was really young, and I loved it. You know, he has the suit. He invents the suit that lets him fly, and he's got all kinds of extreme powers and stuff. It's really cool. Really
Remember? Do you remember that TV show? Oh my gosh! He was this guy, and he had like blonde, really curly, weird hair. And then he discovered that this suit that he could put on, and it made him fly.
Yeah.
And he was like a real, you know, retard at first. He couldn't get his balance and so on. I mean, it was kind of like like a
Wasn't
Superman.
Wasn't that the Greatest American Hero?
That's it. Yeah. I loved that show. It was so funny.
I never saw it. They had the song from there, Believe It or Not. Yeah. Remember?
Yeah, that's it. I remember that now. Yeah.
I know. It was kind of making fun of comic characters and stuff.
Yeah,
I guess so.
Yeah. I thought it was quite cute. I thought that was really good writing, actually.
Yeah.
That was really good writing, I thought.
Yeah. That was like in the 70s, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I still remember watching that very clear.
I remember so many shows I used to like to watch when I was a kid. Did you ever watch The Partridge Family?
Yes, of course.
I mean, I loved them. You know, I always wanted to be like David Cassidy. I mean, he was like just so cute, so handsome. You know, and he was the brother of this beautiful, what was her name, Susan Day.
Yeah.
So it just seemed like, they had a band and he was playing. It was pretty much everything I always dreamed of as a kid, you know. So I just loved watching that show, you know. And
that was, wasn't it, God, how many years did that show run for?
I can't tell you that. But,
it was so many years.
It was
years.
In the early 70s that it ran.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how many seasons, but it was pretty popular, you know. And it had Danny Bonaducci in it, of course.
Yeah.
And now we know, now he's a personality on the air here in L.A.
Wow.
On the radio.
Oh,
really? Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I know. He does so many different gigs, you know. He can't keep track of everywhere he is. But I happen to like him. Did you ever watch the reality show with him? And
no, I don't watch TV. So.
Yeah, I know. I barely watch TV. But that was like a train wreck. You had to watch it.
Oh, really?
You know? Yeah.
And wasn't it, didn't he have this young wife or something like that?
She's not, no, she's about his age.
Or was it his girlfriend or... Was it his wife?
He's got a girlfriend now. I mean, his wife left him.
Oh, okay.
Kicked him out, yeah.
And
all that happened on the reality show.
No way.
You know, it was called Breaking Bonaducci. And, I mean, this guy was just going like on drinking binges. And,
yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, and he's, I mean, he lives on the edge. You know,
yeah.
I'll bet you he's like bipolar or something. I mean, he behaves like one, you know. He does crazy, dangerous things, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they show him standing on a roof, like on the edge of the roof on a tall building.
Right, right.
Things like that, you know, riding his motorcycle like crazy and things like that. But I love to listen to him, man. He's cool, you know. And I like people that have been through problems in their lives and difficulties, you know, because, you know, you sort of can relate, you
yeah.
know. And to,
well, you know, I'll, I just pulled up something. Patrick Swayze, of all people, got pancreas cancer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was he just diagnosed with it?
Yeah. So, anyways, I
Poor
guess
guy.
The headline says that the doctors are optimistic about his prognosis about for battling the cancer. Oh, my gosh, you know. Oh, look at this. And who knows? It's saying that he may have a role on a new television show. What that is, they don't say or whatever, but lo and all, my gosh. Like, isn't that... Wow, that's kind of weird, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, but...
You have...
I mean, look, everybody...
Farrah
you know,
Fawcett, her cancer came back as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, I mean, we notice this when it's celebrities, but obviously the cancer problem is an epidemic in this country,
huge.
You know?
It's absolutely
and
huge.
There's just so many different kinds of cancer that you're bound to get one of them, and not that I wish it on anybody.
Well,
but
here's the statistics on pancreas cancer, which is... Really, well, it's kind of up there. 37,680 new cases of pancreas will be diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, just over 34,000 of those diagnoses will result in death.
Really?
That is scary.
Very.
Isn't it? When you look at those statistics, yeah. That is scary. In other words, it's like you've got, what, one in two chances, well, if not more. Actually, when you think
one.
About it, that the odds there is just way against
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's the things we eat and our environment and,
yeah.
and everything else, you know. I mean, I'm sure that there used to be a lot of cancer in the past too, but it just wasn't
yeah.
as widespread.
Well, you know, he's 55. He's 55 now.
Sorry. Patrick?
Yeah, and you, I just scrolled down, and that new television show that I just mentioned that I didn't read on.
Right.
It was a pilot it was called The Beast, and he will be playing an FBI agent. How's that? Wow,
sounds
there you
good.
Go.
Yeah. yeah. He used to be in a lot of movies. Dirty Dancing, right?
Oh, yeah.
yeah.
I mean, Roadhouse. I mean, you name it. Yeah. There was so many of them.
I know.
And he's
yeah.
I loved him.
Yeah?
I always loved watching him.
Yeah, but he hasn't done anything for 20 years, it seems, you know?
No.
He hasn't really been around.
Well, you know, he doesn't have to, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, retire nice and sweet. And
I'm sure, yeah.
You know,
I'm
out
sure
of the limelight. Yeah. And who did he marry? Didn't
who
he?
Who did he marry? I'm not sure.
Gosh, was it Goldie Hawn? I think it's Goldie Hawn.
Goldie Hawn is going out with Kurt Russell.
Okay,
they've been
then
together
who,
forever.
Okay, then who is he? Who is he married to? He's married to another. You know, like you
yeah.
know, like a.
They don't
the
mention
gold-
it in the article.
No,
something? No,
no, they don't.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe somebody knows. You can call us 818-602-4498. We're after the name of Patrick Swayze's wife. If you have the answer,
yes,
call us right away, and we have no prizes for you.
No prize. Oh, that's funny. That's funny. That's
yeah.
funny.
So, are any holidays coming up?
No, not
like
that
like
St.
Patrick's Day, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
and
that's
you know
not
what?
A major holiday. Obviously, we don't take a day off work for that.
Yeah.
But nothing happening, huh? I mean, it's
not that I'm aware
yeah,
of.
Yeah, March is, I guess, free of holidays or anything.
Well, I didn't get to celebrate Patrick's Day last year. I don't even. I didn't. It passed and gone.
Yeah.
That's how much notice I was playing. Paying.
But I would think your boyfriend would celebrate it, no?
Yeah, I would have thought so too. Yeah. But I don't know where he was.
That's not the case.
I don't know. Huh? Okay. You know, the Chicago River in Illinois is dyed green every St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, really?
What about the poor fish?
Well, maybe it's, edible.
The river stuff is already dead, yeah. So they're just going to dye it green.
Yeah.
It's already so polluted. Yeah. They're like, what the hell? We'll just put some green shit in it.
I know. People do
just
crazy
for,
stuff.
Just for our own amusement.
Yeah, then you can go and take a crap in the river, you know?
Yeah. That's true. That's true, that's true.
Did you ever see, I don't know if this happened to you, but when I was young, we used to go to public pools, you know?
And, yeah, me too.
And I remember once, I'll never forget this. I go into the water, and there is a turd floating in the water.
Right. Ew.
Somebody took a dump right in the water.
I can tell you something. Speaking of shitting in the goddamn water.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Here's something. I remember being told as a little kid, like, you can't urinate in the pool, because if you urinate in the pool, they've got some sort of chemical in there that'll turn, like, bright yellow. Uh-huh. And no matter where you go, it's going to follow you. Right? So
you were told that?
Oh, yeah. I was told that as a little kid.
Wow.
So, of course, I never peed in the pool. And then, years later, it's like, oh, that's a bunch of bullshit. But then I discovered, like, everybody's peeing in the pool. that's when I stopped going to public pools. Yeah. That was just so nasty. I can't do that. But then I went to Mandalay Bay. This was in, what year was it? 2003, mm-hmm. Mandalay Bay.
In Las Vegas.
In Las Vegas. Right. And I was there with my girlfriend, Diana, just chilling, having a good time and everything. And lo and behold, we're being told everybody has to, get out of the water.
Yeah.
And so we're all being pulled out and so on. And it's like, well, shit, what happened? Well, yeah, a kid freaking shit in the goddamn pool. So the pool had to be evacuated. No one could go back in and so on. And then it had to be completely drained, sanitized, all this kind of... It took 2 days.
Really?
Before that pool could be swam in again.
Yeah.
How because gross. There's some little kid, a mother not taking care of their kid, and so the baby goes and shits in the goddamn pool. A toddler. It was a toddler.
Yeah?
Yeah, in a blinking nappy.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what?
We call it a diaper here.
Pools like
nappy's
that.
Nappy's a diaper, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we call them nappies.
Right, I know. So they do in South Africa too. I'm just I'm just translating to our American audience.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, I didn't know they call them nappies in South America.
South Africa, they do.
Yeah. Oh, how funny.
Yeah.
But you know, where's the responsibility of freaking adults when they do take their kids to these kind of pools, these kind of places?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's disgusting, man. I'm telling you. Did you saw the movie The Matrix, right?
Yeah.
And do you remember when that agent, I don't remember what his name, Agent Smith, was it?
Yes.
You know, one of the bad guys, right?
Yeah.
The guy that works for the machine.
The boss that never died.
Yeah. And so he talks to Lawrence Fishburne when he tied him to the chair and everything.
Yes.
And he comes and wipes off his the sweat off his face, and he says, "You humans disgust me, you know. you stink, and you this and you that, you know." And,
yeah.
And it's true to an extent, you know.
Oh,
I mean, we're organic beings, you know. We have a lot of sticky.
We're all mushy inside.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah. And we have a lot of gross stuff coming out of us.
Ew.
In all directions.
I have a funny story.
Yeah.
Speaking of goosh. Well, you know, you've ever seen a roadkill, you know, or a dead animal.
Uh-huh.
And after a couple of days, they swallow up. Humans do this too, except now we get drained out, you know, properly and so on. And other fluid put into us. But
Which, you know what? I can't.
Embalming.
Yeah, that's embalming. Yeah.
Yeah.
With... formaldehyde, right?
Yes, that's
right. Now, I'm asking you, okay, I got to ask you this, because in Jewish religion, they don't do that.
Oh, they don't?
They don't do that, you know. And the main reason is because you cannot keep a body outside of the ground for too long. I don't know how long within the time of death you have to bury. But right. you definitely can't wait a few days.
No, not at all. Not if, yeah. yeah.
But we hear when you bomb, you can keep the person out there forever.
Yeah, I know.
But what I'm thinking, it's like so morbid, you know, to look at a dead body.
Mm.
It's just, you know, I mean, I don't see the point in that. You know, you walk in front of the casket and all that, and it's like, my God, you know, this person's dead, you know?
Yeah.
And especially when they reconstruct the body, if something happened, if they were in an accident or something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, so, I totally understand.
So, I mean, I don't know where this comes from, but I can tell in Jewish religion they don't do that.
I wonder where that did come from.
Yeah.
It's like, who started that and why?
Yeah. Did you know that Jews also don't use caskets? It's like you just wrap the body in a sheet and you bury it in the ground.
That makes more damn sense to me than anything else.
Yeah, so it'll mix up with the ground again.
With the ground, yeah.
You know?
Instead of spending, $6,000, $10,000 on a goddamn casket?
Yeah.
It's going to be buried?
What's the point, you know? I mean, what's the point?
I know. Yeah. That's why I said, I was like, man, I want to be cremated.
Yeah? You do?
Burn me up.
Would you want like a physical place for your body?
No, because I actually haven't found a home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I've
just lived
so many.
You don't know where you'd want to be buried.
No, I have absolutely no. And
really?
I can tell you right now, there's no way. God bless my home and whatever, but there's no way I will ever return to my hometown to be buried.
Really?
Hell freaking no.
Why is that?
I will kick up a stink and turn in my grave.
Why is that?
Because I just never want to go back there.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And it's not because of bad memories or anything like that. It was just, you know, I'm grateful for how I grew up and where I grew up and, you know, my experiences in life. But that is in the past.
Yeah.
That's not where I really don't feel that's where I need to return to. Mm. Definitely not. I feel that my spirit is so strong and so out there and so, you know, whatever.
Right.
My best ending is like burning me up in ash and just spreading me wherever someone feels like it.
Wow.
Like up in the mountains, over in the ocean.
I don't know, it's
hard
for me to picture.
In through the, you know, the forests or something like that.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think I deserve more than that. Than being bloody buried in your hometown.
No, but be buried here. What's wrong with L.A.?
Nah.
What do you care? You're not going to be here anyway.
No, someone will come along and sweep me up and throw me in the gutter.
Yeah. Yeah, she's Australian. She doesn't belong here. Put her in the Australian cemetery.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's funny. What else is in the news? I mean, is there anything in the news there that we should know
about?
Well,
actually, I had seen this thing about this 4-year-old girl that had to be taken out of school for being drunk.
A 4-year-old girl?
A 4-year-old girl, yeah.
So this is like in more than daycare.
So anyways, I opened it up because, of course, I was curious because it's on CNN. But it turns out to be a video, so of course I can't play it over on this side. I didn't realize that.
Well, maybe I can play it.
Well, I don't know how to transfer it over to you.
You don't have to. Just tell me where the link is.
Oh, it's the CNN video. CNN News. You know the regular page, CNN.com?
Right. Okay, drunk 4-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Okay, let's try and play.
Carried out of her school. Can you believe that? I can't believe that.
Wow.
That's amazing.
So, I mean, how did she get a drink? How did she get a drink?
Well, I don't know. That's what we're trying to find out.
Yeah, 4-year-old, I don't know.
Congressional investigators are calling it the worst air safety violation they've ever seen. If you fly, you'll want to know the details. CNN's Drew Griffin is...
What is this? That's not the right one.
The drunk 4-year-old girl?
That's what I pressed.
Oh, maybe it's going into it.
No, not really, because I'll tell you why. No, usually they'll have a commercial. You know what? Screw it. I don't care.
Ah, screw it.
Yeah, we'll get it set up for next time.
Oh, look. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
But and then they find out that Southwest Airlines flew unsafe planes.
I know.
I mean, that's pretty scary, you know, considering that they're a fun airline. Have you ever flown Southwest? I mean, the flight attendants tell jokes and stuff.
Oh, they do?
On the intercom, yeah.
No way, do they?
Yeah.
Oh, then obviously and I haven't.
Yeah, I mean, they joke about the takeoffs and which is curious, but they do, you know. They really do.
I wonder if they make jokes about falling out of the sky.
Yeah, I hope not. You know, but sometimes I don't understand how they have disaster movies on a flight where you fly and you watch the movie in flight. They'll have like disaster movies, you know. I mean, I'm sure they try not to have planes crashing, but there's other things, you know, that you don't want to think about when you're on an airplane.
Yeah. I never thought about that. Wouldn't that be funny? Like, yeah. People but, you freaking
know,
out.
It'll be awesome when they start having internet on planes, you know. They'll put all the signal on satellites and you'll be able to get it anywhere. That'd be awesome.
Wow.
Because that's one of the only things you still can't do on a plane is to roam the internet and get email.
I love the internet.
Yeah.
I could spend so much more time on it, but I'm running out of time these days. Yeah. Like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
You are too.
Did you get a good night's sleep last night? How many hours did you get?
Maybe six. Which
really?
Is very, That's
too little for
that's
you.
That's too little for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, that's oversleeping.
Oh, really?
4.5 hours I logged in last night.
4.5?
4.5 hours.
Is that good or bad? Or is 5 hours usually?
Yeah, I mean, I'm starting to see the number 4 there. That's too little.
Oh, really? You know? Oh, yeah. Okay.
5 hours, okay. I can understand that, you know. So, but I don't have a choice. I mean, what am I going to do, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm enjoying it, and that's what matters. You know?
Wow.
That's what matters. I wanted to... what did I want to ask you about? House Chairman... Oh, okay. I wanted to play you a cool song here. I want to try and find it quickly.
Ooh.
And you tell me what you think.
Yes. Is it going to bring back memories, or is it something that I probably haven't heard of before?
Well, you'll have to. Yeah, you'll have to hear it. Hold on.
Okay.
I'm far from the microphone, but it's a pretty funny song, and I think you might like it. I just wish I'd prepared it beforehand, so I wouldn't have to search for it now. But
that's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah, you know what? You should bring your mouse over in front of there.
No, but
instead of leaning
over. I can't. It's
you
just
can't?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. And what's his name? My God, I forgot his name. Never mind. You know what? It's not really worth it, right?
Oh, come on.
Yeah. But we are going to end the show a little bit early today so I can set up the real estate show for Frank coming up at 11.
Right.
Because I was trying to do it between breaks.
Oh, because he's still trying to do the...
Yeah, because he's going to be broadcasting from New York, and we want to make sure that the lines are working and everything's okay and it works smoothly.
Yeah.
It's just that it sort of like happened where we're at the last minute of this, and, you know, we still have to get this done. So definitely we're planning to have the show at 11 today. But this is still part of the growing pains, you know. I mean, we'll work out.
You know what? It works out good.
Yeah.
Because I've been driving on an empty tank since yesterday afternoon. And
that's scary. How can you do that? I'm always, when I get to about a quarter or an eighth, that's it.
Oh, well, see, me, I can only figure it out. All right, my car. I don't have a gas gauge. The needle flickers.
Really? Back and
back
forth?
And forth.
Like the windshield wiper?
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, the only time that I know that I need gas is when the light comes on.
Oh, I see.
And so the light came on when I was on my way to work yesterday.
Yeah.
And then I was so tired and like, you know, having to get home to, you know, well, after talking to the director and getting home to get all the information that I needed.
Yeah.
So then I get in the car this morning. It's like, oh, shit.
There's
gas.
Nothing. And you didn't have time to stop.
I didn't have time. So I have to.
Good. So we'll let you go a little early. That's
so
fine.
So I hope.
Yeah.
I hope I make it to a gas station.
I hope so, too, Manu. Good. I mean, that scares me to be stalled in the middle of the freeway or something without gas, you know.
Well, usually when my light comes on, I have already figured it out that I can probably run between 20 and 30 miles depending on, you know, the condition.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, on the red light.
All right.
So, but I'm kicking it
close
to 30 miles right now.
Yeah. At least your odometer works, so you know
exactly
how far you're going.
Isn't that funny?
It is.
Oh, well.
Okay, so that was today, kind of laid-back show. Not a lot of laughs. Well, we had a lot of excitement yesterday with two guests and everything. So
yeah.
I think we're still trying to unwind. You see, that's the thing, is that when you have to entertain, you always have to be ready and uppity and everything, you know, ready to go. And sometimes it's hard when you're physically tired, you know.
I know.
We do this. We come here every day, 5 days a week. And we keep our word and our promise. We're always going to be here as long as you want to listen. Unless Manu gets that role and she'll be gone for 40 days, so we'll see what
happens.
No.
I'm not gone for 40 days.
That's right.
Because it's only a supporting role that I'm auditioning for. So with that being... Well, it doesn't matter what role.
Right.
What they do is they select the scenes that you are in.
Uh-huh.
And they film those scenes.
Right.
So it could be, you know, scenes from the beginning, through the middle, through all different parts of the film.
Right.
And they just film it all in one little
section.
That's
right, that's right. Yes.
So, you know, it works out quite
neat. So you'll probably have like a few hours of acting or something, right? Depending on how big the role is.
It's a supporting, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know,
Well, supporting role can be pretty big.
It could be.
Yeah.
It could be.
Yeah.
But even the main actor, you know, the lead actors.
Yeah.
They're not even there every day.
Yeah.
You know, it's specific days.
Yeah.
They film you with... It's a neat way how they work things out.
It's
kind of cool.
I know. It's fun watching a movie. Did you see they're filming a movie down there this morning?
Yeah, man. Yeah. That bloody traffic guy. I got caught. I got caught amongst all that.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here in L.A., they film movies all the time. I mean, wherever you go, you can see a movie being made.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So, but they do tend to block traffic and stuff, you know.
Yeah, because they got some big trucks coming on in.
I know. But imagine how they film, like, if they wanted to do, like, a car chase scene or something down here, they'd have to close off the whole downtown to film something like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, usually, I know that a film that I worked on, they did a car scene where they had to do like high speed racing on the freeway and so on. So of course they have the main actors, the main car and so on, and then of course they have to imitate that there is LA traffic.
Right.
And I'm a precision driver.
Right.
So, you know, I was hired on to also drive in the scene with, you know, like high speed chasing and so on.
Right.
It was really, really cool.
I'm sure.
And they blocked off in an entire section of the 10 freeway.
Really?
Yeah, over the weekend.
Yeah.
They do it on the weekends because there's less traffic and, you know, less
interruptive. Here on the weekends, there's no less traffic. I mean, it's always packed here. I mean, you're right. Yeah, there's no, like, rush hour, but it's one big rush hour we have all day.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, Manu. This is it for today. Thank you for listening. This is Sam and Manu signing off, and we'll see you tomorrow, Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, already.